the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, the Employee Benefit Research Institute just released its 2018 retirement survey. And what we'd like to do here on the program today, since we're always talking about retirement, is to dig into what the contents of the survey are. You know, confidence has been dropping in retirees, especially in their ability to handle expenses in retirement, in part due to rising medical expenses, which have been rising well out of pace with inflation exceeding it. And what we address here, as far as retirement is concerned, is the root cause of this loss of confidence overall. And that is underestimating your expenses and your spending when you're in retirement. Medical expenses are going to be one of the biggest things. It's one of the biggest things retirees will face. Unexpected medical expenses, especially because the government is running out of money. It's running out of its ability to maintain all of these social spending programs, and it is already on a track to begin shifting the burdens of medical care to the individual. And so, given that, you had better anticipate that in retirement and include that in your budgetary planning. So, if we look at not just medical expenses, Jim, but overall what expenses are going to be in retirement, how do you go about setting up an estimate of what you think it's going to be? And there's inflation and other things to factor in there as well.
Well, I'm going to mention the word that nobody wants to hear about is the B word, which is a budget. It's one of the main tools we use, John, when we're working with clients on doing a retirement plan, because how do you know how much income you're going to need, where your expenses are going to be? And a lot of times people just don't basically plan for these medical expenses. They may retire at age 65, 66, they're in good health, they're feeling good, and they're not thinking about what their health might be 10, 15, or even 20 years from now. And the great thing about putting together a budget is we break it up into three parts. The essential budget, that's, you know, basically what does it cost you to live? Your utilities, your food, repairs, you know, phone, cell charges, the things that we normally spend money on a day-to-day basis. That's the main part of the budget, because that's the nut you need to crack. The second one is what we call discretionary. That's for things like entertainment, travel, hobbies you have. And then another one, which doesn't go away, we call it capital expenditures. And that's no different than a corporation. You know, repairing or replacing the car. If you own a home, home repairs. Because if you own a home as a homeowner, you know you're always spending money on your house. And we have a separate section that we do that is strictly on healthcare and taxes. Because as you age, your budget is going to look different. For example, in years 1 to 10 in retirement, you're probably going to be spending a lot more on the discretionary side for entertainment. This is, you're healthy, you're able to travel and do the things you weren't able to do, maybe take long trips or even more trips now that you're retired. In years 10 to 20, it's about a 50-50 split between entertainment and health. Usually 10, 20 years into a retirement, you start to run into health issues. I mean, just, you know, if you retired at 65, you know, what are the health issues you're going to run at 75, 80, or 85? And then years 20 to 30, the budget shifts entirely, and it goes mainly to health. Because, you know, when we start getting into 80 in our 90s, the body starts breaking down. You may be in a long-term care facility. You may be taking more medication, but you're going to be spending a good portion of your budget on health. One of the biggest mistakes that we have found, and this is why we do a whole separate section on planning for healthcare, it's one of the big mistakes of not accounting for healthcare. That's sort of the gotcha expense, John, that comes to grab you when you least expect it. All of a sudden illness or ailment crops up, and all of a sudden you're taking on expenses that you didn't have in your budget. In fact, in the latest survey that you mentioned by the Employee Benefit Institute, one of the main reasons given for the drop in confidence is medical expenses are going up faster than the rate of inflation. You take a look at the inflation figures we report, and CPI, PPI, most people think it's probably a little higher than that. But, you know, CPI is running around 2%. You're talking about inflation for a retiree, it's running 6 to 8%. The things you like to spend money on, travel and medical, they're going up at 6 to 8% a year.
Well, we were talking about projecting things forward. So given that we know there are going to be changes in healthcare, how do you handle that when you're making a plan?
We have both spouses, or if just a single person, we have a special healthcare questionnaire that we have them fill out. And it really takes a look at something that insurance companies use. So, you know, if you were getting health insurance or you were getting life insurance, it takes a look at family history, your health. And so it basically gives us sort of an idea, and you've heard us talk about this when we review the case studies on the program about longevity. And in terms of, you know, a couple will say, well, you know, their longevity is 88, 90. And that's something we're starting to see more of, is longevity. We're seeing more and more individuals live well into their 80s and 90s. And, you know, you take a look at statistically 20, 30 years ago, a male retired at age 65, his life expectancy was 74. Now men are living into their 80s and 90s. I just lost a client who was 96. So medical expenses are a separate add-on expense that should be included either as an expense or as a required savings that needs to be set aside. You may be in good health, both of you right now, between a husband and wife, and you may think, you know, that's something I can worry about 10 years from now. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You better have money set aside to handle that expense when it arrives. And especially if, you know, you're spending almost what you're taking in, you need to set aside reserves, because how are you going to handle that expense when it surfaces at some point? And as you mentioned, John, and we've seen this with Medicare, there's four tiers of Medicare pricing now. There used to be one tier. Everybody paid the same Medicare premiums. Now, depending on your income, you can pay four times as much. And what our software does is we, you know, basically compile the budget. We take a look at income. We look at longevity. And it comes up with a percentage of success. It's basically stress testing your retirement. And what we want to do is see a 90% success ratio. That means you stand a high probability that you will live well in the lifestyle that you're living now throughout your retirement. What we don't want to see, and where we get worried, is when those probabilities drop down in the 60 and 70% range, because that basically says somewhere down the line, we're going to run into trouble. So basically getting the client there is all about adequate income, knowing your expenses, and to properly budget so these medical expenses are either set aside or we have enough income coming in or sources of income or future income that will cover the expense. And depending on longevity and family history, you need to have what I call Plan B. That's a contingent plan, because as you get older, the older you get, the greater your chances of probability of being in a long-term care facility. And with government charging more and more for Medicare, and also coming up and looking at issues of Social Security insolvency in the next decade, it has never been more important to basically have a plan that is going to cover these things, because you don't want to get into the next decade where we're going to have problems with Social Security and Medicare. They're going to increase premiums. They're going to increase deductibles, as they've been doing, as you've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. But they may be coming after Social Security, whether it's means testing or not. But we do know the Social Security Trust Fund runs out of money at the end of the next decade.
Yeah, and in this study, Jim, that the Employee Benefit Research Institute did, their retirement confidence survey, they said when people are doing planning, they seem to do a pretty good job, you know, extrapolating what their day-to-day, month-to-month expenses are probably going to be in retirement. What they don't anticipate are what you call the gotcha expenses, things that will come up periodically, but not necessarily on a daily, monthly, or annual basis.
Sure. I mean, we all know if you drive a car, sooner or later, you're going to have to replace the car. And if you're a homeowner, I don't need to tell you, there's always something. I don't care if you have a new home, there's always something breaking down, the refrigerator, the stove, the air conditioning. There's just basically routine maintenance that you have to do if you own real estate. So those are the kind of things that sort of come out of the blue and hit you with something. Something breaks down on the house. And you basically, from a planning perspective, you should budget about 1 to 2% of the value of your house as a reserve for those kind of expenses. Because let's say you move into a brand new house or new neighborhood, or it's a fairly new house. Maybe that's not something that happens right away, but down the line, you know, it's going to show up. You're going to replace something or doing some kind of maintenance. Because basically, you don't want to get hit with a major repair bill and have to take large lump sum payments out of an IRA, pushing you into a higher tax bracket the year that you need the money. And this is something that we've seen happen to several people, is that all of a sudden something happens in the house, or for example, the car starts to break down, you have to go buy a new car. That new car can be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, depending on what you're buying. And they don't have it in savings. And so what they do is they take a lump sum out of their IRA. And that's, you know, an extra $30,000, $40,000 they're taking on top of their regular income they're taking out. And it bumps them into a higher tax bracket. They take the money out to pay for the car, but they forget to set aside the money to pay for the taxes. And all of a sudden, come April 15th, gotcha. You have to pay your favorite uncle.
Well, we do know that couples who are obviously going into retirement, age 65 and upwards, will spend during the course of retirement $250,000 on medical expenses. And as we've said, that's just going to keep on growing. Now, how do you even work that into a budget if you're not sure what all of that's going to be?
It's interesting that you bring that up, John, because this survey that was done by Employee Benefit Research, they estimate the average couple will spend about $8,000 a year for Medicare premiums and supplemental insurance, Medigap insurance. They'll spend an average of $1,200 of out-of-pocket expenses. That's for drugs. And then there's probably another $1,000 to $2,000 that you may end up spending yourself, things that your insurance company doesn't pay. Maybe there's a new drug that's out that your doctor wants to give you, but Medicare won't pay for it. Your insurance company won't pay for it. Or maybe there's tests and procedures. So you add that up, and you know that gets down to $10,000 to $12,000 a year that you need to be putting in your budget. And this gets back to the figure you just mentioned. You know, you take 20 years of retirement and 25 years of retirement, add $10,000 to $12,000 a year, John, there's your quarter million. Actually, the figure is closer to $270,000 for 2018. So the biggest medical surprise for retirees is how much drugs cost and the out-of-pocket expense, especially new state-of-the-art drugs and therapies. You may have a particular ailment, a disease, and all of a sudden there's this new miracle drug out there. But guess what? Medicare is not going to cover it, and your Medigap insurance is going to cover it. And you want to stay healthy and be healthy, stay alive. You know what? If you want it, it's going to come out of your pocket.
And here's the one where you really roll the dice, and that really gets people, is say the necessity comes to one of two people in a marriage of long-term care, not just a terminal illness that you go through a period of time and then it's over. This may go on for years.
And that's interesting because the folks that run the Vanguard Mutual Funds, they did a study. And listen to this, folks. 15% of retirees will spend more than $250,000 on long-term care. 50% of you will never spend a dime, zero, and 25% of you will spend close to, I think the figure was $100,000 or less. So it's very hard to plan for, which is why you need to have a plan B for this type of contingency, because there's very few policies for long-term care, and you better get it when you're younger, you know, in your 50s, early 60s, because it gets cost prohibitive in your 70s. There were a lot of companies that started underwriting long-term care in the 90s, And John, they just underpriced them and they lost billions and billions of dollars. So a lot of companies dropped that part of their insurance business because they were losing so much money. So it's, you know, one of the things that you need to do is, unless you want to take out a policy when you're young and can afford it, when it's least expensive, you better include it in your plan.
There was something we mentioned earlier on, and that was why retirees are less confident about the future. If you look at where we are now anyway, we just took a snapshot of it, say, for example, the economy is growing, we have a low unemployment, and the stock market is booming. Things seem to be going well there. So you would think there would be some level of confidence and what would we call it? Optimism.
Overall, the survey, 3 out of 4 were confident in having enough money for a comfortable retirement. However, what is new in this year's survey is they are less confident to handle basic expenses and medical expenses. The comments in the survey is people were surprised how much medical was costing them in retirement. Now, there were two aspects of the survey. One was there was less confidence in being able to handle medical expenses and long-term care. And this, John, I think is just what people have experienced. If you're on Medicare, you know, as of, I think it was, what was it, 2005 when they passed Medicare Part D. When they passed Medicare Part D in 2005, they added 4-tiered pricing to Medicare. So based on your income, you can pay 2 times, 3 times, up to 4 times the regular Medicare premium. And over the last 5 or 6 years, especially after the passage of Obamacare, which took a lot of funds out of Medicare, those deductibles have gone up, the rates have gone up. And so I think a lot of people are experiencing that. So it's interesting to note, though, that most retirees, and this is a switch, is they want to continue to grow their asset levels in retirement, because I think they're coming to the realization that, hey, I'm spending $5,000 a month, but I can see my food bills have gone up, my utility bills have gone up, gasoline has gone up. Everywhere I look, things are going up. And if I don't increase this portfolio, sooner or later, I'm going to start running into problems. And in the end, I could find myself in a fiscal problem financially, and especially if you throw medical expenses on top of that.
Maybe one of the key indicators in this whole survey is that 2 out of 3 retirees listed Social Security as a major source of income, if not a primary source. And we know that that's going to be in trouble in a decade.
Yeah, it is. And there's also doubts. There's growing doubts because you hear about in the news, the CBO's talking about, you know, the budget deficit for fiscal year 2018 is going to be over $800 billion. Next year, it's going to be close to $1 trillion. And then it's going to be $1 trillion plus deficits going into the next decade. And John, we're not even in a recession yet where revenues decline and expenses go up. But what has shown over a period of time is confidence has dropped. It was 69% in the years 1999 to 2004. It got down to 54% confident in 2009, which is what you would expect when we went through the Great Recession and a bear market where the S&P lost 60% of its value. It's been rising steadily since 2014 in the bull market. But having enough to last throughout retirement, that percentage keeps dropping. And I think that's a reflection of these medical expenses and the subtleties of inflation that people start to notice. And especially when you're on a fixed income, when you're retired, you have a fixed income coming in, but your expenses aren't fixed. They're going up. I just want to read a couple of the results here. The question was, retirees are less confident than they were last year that they will have enough for basic expenses, medical expenses, and long-term care. And here's some of the questions. You will have enough money to take care of your basic expenses during your retirement. That dropped from basically 42% to 38%, and 38% being very confident, 42% being somewhat confident. Next question. You will have enough money to take care of your medical expenses during your retirement. That dropped from 77% overall to 70, a big, big drop, with only 26% being very confident, 44% being somewhat confident. Another question, you will have enough money to pay for long-term care, such as nursing home or home care, should you need it during your retirement. That is dropped off only 16%, or very confident they could handle that expense, 34% not confident. And one other survey question I wanted to cover, which was rather interesting, and this is, retiree confidence in Medicare and Social Security has dropped compared to previous years. Fewer than half feel confident in these systems today. So one question, the Medicare system will continue to provide benefits of at least equal to the benefits received by retirees today. That dropped from 52% to 46, with only 7% very confident that it'll be there. The second question, the Social Security system will continue to provide benefits of at least equal value to the benefits received by retirees today. That is dropped to 7%, having confident, and that dropped likewise from 51% the previous year to 45% this year. And the final question, the U.S. government will do the right thing to ensure people can achieve a secure retirement. John, nobody was confident, with only 21% somewhat confident that that will be down. So if you look at the trend overall, it's trending down. And because I've covered this on the program a number of times, retirees' median age for claiming Social Security is 63, while workers expect to claim at age 65. So people that are working today saying, no, I'll wait till I'm 65 or 66, full retirement age. In reality, the average age is 63. And what that means is you are getting less than the benefits you're entitled to, because you can take it at age 62. But today, if you want to get full benefits, you have to be age 66, and that number goes up to age 67 over the next decade.
It would seem, too, that I think people are noticing that there are changes in Medicare pricing and the price of everything involved going up. It creates sort of a feeling of angst because you're not quite sure where it's going. And this weighs in on people as far as how they view the future.
Yeah, and I think also, as I just mentioned, the less confidence in Medicare, in Social Security. And I think it's, you know, people remember those $1 trillion deficits under Obama, and those $1 trillion deficits are coming back here in the next couple of years. And, you know, there's talks of a fiscal crisis. The CBO is warning. And of course, you're not going to have anybody talk about reducing any of this stuff in an election year. But nonetheless, people are hearing news like this. And also, John, I think having to do somewhat with this is the lingering effects of the financial crisis has affected confidence levels, and they're still below where they were a decade or 20 years ago before the Great Recession.
So if we're jumping into retirement planning, then how do we do it in such a way that we avoid underestimating our expenses and going broke?
You know, we emphasize it, and that's what this program's about. You need to have a plan. Period. If you worked in business, you know the business had a budget. They had a capital expenditure budget. They had something they operated by, so they knew what their revenues were and what their expenses were. And that budget, by the way, needs to include a number of things. Number one, a provision for medical cost. Number two, repair and maintenance on a home if you own your home. Number three, replacing your car. And number four, some kind of contingency plan for long-term care, especially if you're both in good health and longevity runs in your family. Number three, you need a health care assessment and longevity survey. You really need to take that questionnaire and assess, based on family history, your current health history, what are your prospects for longevity? Because the longer you live, the more money you're going to need, the more expensive it's going to get. I mean, think of what you're spending money now on living and travel, medical. Think of what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So just fast forward and think about what it's likely to be 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And number four, once you have a plan, that isn't good enough. You have to monitor it for health changes, changes in the family, and certainly changes in the market, especially having gone through the great bear market from 2007 and 9, and also the one that lasted from 2000 to 2002, where the S&P lost 50%. So in a period of almost a decade, you had two bear markets where the markets lost over 50% of their value, and you don't want to go through sequence risk at the beginning of your retirement. And number five, have a backup plan or a plan B.
And Jim's guest tomorrow on the program will be Dr. Maureen Keeley, The Final Conversation. And of course, we're talking here about having a conversation with a parent, someone else you're caring for, who is, I guess, essentially, Jim, is dying.
It's a very touching book, and it goes into a lot of things. I discovered this book in an article that was in the Wall Street Journal recently, and it was a fabulous book on the six conversations you need to have with that loved one. It is really a great interview, and I hope you'll have set some time aside to listen to it. And that's coming up tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.